please be seated. Our second scripture reading for today comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for God has looked with favor on the lowliness of God's servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is God's name. The mercy of the Lord is for those who fear God from generation to generation, God who has shown strength with their arm and scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. God has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. God has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. God has helped the servant Israel in remembrance of divine mercy, according to the promise of our ancestors, to Abraham and his descendants forever." May God bless us with understanding, and would you join me in prayer? O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Very exciting news. Very, very exciting news. Today, we light the pink one. Perhaps you are wondering, what is the deal with that pink one? Well, there are four Sundays in Advent, hence four candles, and each Sunday we light a candle as a prayer. And these prayers are for what the world that is to come will be like. These prayers are for hope, peace, joy, and love. Very basically, Advent is a time of preparation, specifically preparation of our spirits for the coming of Jesus. We tell the story of Jesus coming into the world the first time in order to prepare our spirits for Christ's return in the world again. That time when God's will shall be done on earth no less than it is in heaven. Advent is a time of preparing our hearts for that world, a world of hope, peace, joy, and love. That partially answers the question anyway. All four of those things, hope, peace, joy, and love, surely all of those are pretty great, but one and only one gets to be pink, and that is joy. Joy then is special, if not of higher importance, then at least distinct from hope, peace, and love. Because joy is something that God is in need of too. Need a little bit of runway to get there, though. The story of Jesus coming into the world, the first time, I mean, that is a story about a host of angels from the courts of highest heaven, about lowly shepherds living outdoors, a story of young women yet to be married, of an aging married couple who had long since given up hope of children, the story of Jesus. It is actually full of singing more than anything. It's full of singing. In Luke's gospel, the first two chapters contain four songs. That's a lot of songs. A woman who is said to be unable to bear children delivers a healthy baby, one who is to pave the way for Jesus. And the song the child's parents sing is one of joy that God is ever faithful. The name of that song is Benedictus. An old man who has been faithful to God his entire life holds the hope of the world in his hands. And his song is one of joy, that in his own curled fingers he holds a hope greater than he imagined. It is called the Nunc Dimittis. A young woman is told that her strong hips would bear the weight of the world's salvation, and her song is one of defiant joy, that God would choose her for an honor greater than any worldly wealth. That song is called Magnificat. Each of these songs, they are expressions of joy, because the Savior's coming into the world has swept the people up into the story of God, and their lives are forever changed, forever altered at the essence of what it means to be humanity by their encounter with God in Jesus Christ. For them, their joy is so deep that that it must be sung to give it adequate expression. Singing is an expression of joy too profound for the sterility of mere word to capture, and which must necessarily overflow into music, adding tone and rhythm and interval and harmony to transform the intent to praise into the actual practice of praising. And what unites them, what unites these songs in joy, is that they are about humanity partnering with God. This is best seen in Mary. Mary, who makes her own body the site and source of divine and human partnership. All that Jesus would do in his life had its origin in Mary's mothering. Every healing came from the body that Mary's womb had nurtured. Every teaching came from the mind that found its first teacher in Mary's voice and shepherding. The salvation of humanity, it is not from God acting alone. The salvation of humanity comes from human partnership with God, seen first in Mary's joyful yes to God. A yes so joyful that it becomes a song of praise, the Magnificat, which means my soul magnifies the Lord. That is what joy is. Joy is when what has transpired, it is beyond my control and more wonderful than I could have achieved on my own. That is what joy is, when what has transpired is more wonderful than I could have achieved on my own. There are four songs that accompany the birth of Jesus. Three of these songs are expressions of human joy. We've just covered those. That's understandable why the Savior's coming into the world has swept the people up into the story of God. But remember the fourth song. The fourth song is about God's joy. It is sung by the hosts of heaven. It is sung by the hosts of heaven because the Savior's coming into the world has swept God into the story of humanity, and God was forever changed at the essence, and in such a way that for all the rest of time, creation was finally complete in the light of God's partnering with humanity. Joy. I said that of hope, peace, joy, and love, joy is unique because God is in need of that too. Because as wonderful as hope, peace, and love are, surely we have deep need of them. As wonderful as these are, God has no need of them. God already has these. Hope. God has this already. God the eternal, for whom yesterday and tomorrow are just the same. God has all the hope she needs. She promises a better world. Because God can see it as easily as you or I can see the sunrise or sunset. Peace. God has not a single enemy. In all of creation, God has peace. Even if I were to hate God to the very soles of my shoes, God would not count me as an enemy. And love. God has this. God is this, friends. God is love. Hope, peace, and love, these are gifts from God to us, for which we can be thankful. But joy is different. God is in need of joy just as we are. Joy is when the world is more wonderful than I could make with my own power. For God the Almighty, then, what joy, joy must be. When humanity chooses to partner with God, that is a joy that is longer than eternity. God's joy is because humanity has chosen to love God. And this is joy because God cannot demand love. Love that is extracted by demand, this is no love. Love must be freely given. That is what makes it love. In the birth of Jesus Christ, finally, humanity loves God just as God is. We love God unconditionally because God had 10 perfect little toes to count over and over and over. We love God because of how God's hair smelled in the afternoon. We love God because of the rise and fall of God's chest in sleep breath. We love God because the weakness of God's neck called out for tender hands to form a cradle beneath God's head. We love God deeply, completely, fiercely, and finally, God was who God had always dreamed of being, God with us. Joy. Almighty God comes to humanity as a tiny infant. No longer almighty and untouchable in highest heaven, but weak and vulnerable in a lowly manger, but beloved for that. Beloved by humanity at last, and for God and all her angels. It was glory in the highest heaven, joyous beyond the capacity of speech's sterility, a song of delirious joy bursting from heaven, calling out to embrace the whole world in goodwill, overflowing into canticles of praise by rank upon rank of angelic host, a song that God's voice joined in too. God's own small voice joining in the song of joy in a voice that sounded just like an infant's cry. Amen.